All right, good morning, everybody. For our first demonstration, pigs are going to fly. I'm just kidding. Is anybody excited to be here? High five three people and let them know you're happy to be here. Oh, man. There's a pig flying back there somewhere. I don't know. Oh, there it is. Glad you're here, too. I see you up there waving in the rafters. Really, thank y'all so much for coming and hanging out with us today. You know, I'm excited about today. Y'all know I'm going to move around. I'm going to get excited. How about our band again, guys? We've been trying to work through this all summer long. These guys have been coming together every week and been trying to get better and better, and I believe that they have, and I'm thankful that they're here to set the tone for worship because a lot of times they make me sound really good. Honestly, I lip sing in the back, so it looks really, really great because we have that lip sync battle one Sunday. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be great. But I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for you for being here. And I'm so thankful for today because, you know, as you're getting ready for series, when it comes to sermon series, there are 2 weeks that are the most important. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm going to put all my cards on the table. The first and the last, right? Like, that's the ones that everybody shows up for, is usually the first of the series and the last of the series. And that's awesome. So we get to bookend them, and that's where it gets really fun and it's really exciting. And for me, I get really excited because we close the chapter on one thing, and then next week we start a series called Hope in the Dark. And I'm not going to lie to you, this series today, as we wrap it up, is going to be awesome. I'm excited about next week as well because I believe that all of us going in the fall could be in a dark season. And we're searching for hope. And if we're not, we know someone who is. So I'm just going to tell you that whole, this next series is going to be awesome. But we got to close out today. So here we are today. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Genesis 22. But something we have been doing, if you don't have your Bible, each and every week is, if you have the Bible app on your phone, how many folks have the Bible app on their phone? Yay, I see some hands. We're good. We're getting it downloaded. We're getting ready, right? If you've got the Bible app on your phone, you're going to see a way that you can actually get there. So if you go to the Bible app on your phone, you click on the YouVersion Bible app, you're going to see something that says more on the left-hand side of the screen. And when you click that, you're going to see something that says events. And when you click events, the Vine Church is going to pop up, and it's going to say Sunday Worship Experience. When you click that, you're going to see all of the scripture we have, ways that you can connect with us, how you can be a part of our eFam throughout the week. You can type some personal notes, some ways that, once again, you can get in contact with us, the locations and times of when we meet. But more importantly, it's going to have the scripture up there, so that way you can follow along, okay? So if you've got that on your phone, go ahead and grab that out. If not, and you've got your Bible, I tend to be the paper guy, you know, like I do that too. Also have electronic version. But if you've got that on your phone, go ahead. We're going to be in Genesis 22. And I just want to tell you, if you've ever been in a church background, you've heard this story. But I want to ask you to have fresh perspective today and a fresh lens as we do this, okay? Because here's the thing. I've been getting ready for this message for a while. Actually, when it occurred to me is on July 4th weekend, I was at Tim and Olivia's. I was at my sister and brother-in-law's house, and we were shooting some fireworks. And I was with my niece and nephew, Aiden and Madeline, and they're awesome. And as we were getting ready to shoot fireworks, or we were cleaning up fireworks, I just remember looking up at the sky and Aiden looking at me, and he was telling me where everything was. He was telling me where the Big Dipper was, and he was showing me where it was in the sky. And we were looking up, and he was telling me, I got to find Orion. I don't know where Orion is. So we were looking, you know, you got to find Orion's belt to find Orion in the sky, right? Like, so we were looking for Orion's belt, and he was pointing out where it was. And I just heard him talk about, wouldn't it just be cool if one of those exploded? And I thought about the faith of a child, and I was thinking about me. I'm like, yeah, that would be a little different, right? If it did explode, that would be okay. Like, I was worried at the time. I don't think we had the peace treaty with North Korea yet, so we were trying to work through that. So I was trying to figure out if the star exploded, something crazy was happening, right? But, like, in my mind, it made me think, like, man, when I looked at those stars, I don't know if you remember, but I remember that they're light years away, right? So we're actually looking in the past. So when I looked up at the stars, I'm gonna age myself here. When I looked up at the stars, I remember the movie Fido Goes West. Does anybody even know what I'm talking about? A few people, yes. Like, come on, you know it. Somewhere out there. Like, you remember that song? Like, that was it. Beneath the starry sky. Like, you know, there's someone out there. Right, anyway. Working on it. So anyway, I just remembered that movie, and I thought about the sky, and I thought about the stars, and it made me think about, isn't it crazy in our life that two different people can look at the same thing but have a different perspective?
Isn't it crazy how that happens? And if we're honest, it's not just two people. It could be every different person that looks at the same thing has a different perspective. And so today, that's what I want to talk to you about as we get to dive into Genesis 22, because we're going to talk about the miracle of provision from this perspective. And so as we get ready to jump into there, let me tell you a little bit about my perspective at things in life. Sometimes it could be a God-given uncanny ability, or it could just be a terrible thing. Jesus is working out of me. But how many of us, when you walk in a room, ask this question, what's lacking? Like, how many when you walk in a room, like when I walk in a room, so like if I walk in this room today, my first question a lot of times in my brain, what makes me sometimes a leader, I guess, or a bad leader, good leader, we'll work through that. But I can say, what's lacking? What's missing? What's not here that I should be seeing? Like what is the thing that's lacking? Maybe a smile. So I smile, and look, you see, it's contagious. I'll smile, or maybe it's energy, or maybe it's coffee, or maybe it's air conditioning. I don't know, but there's something that's lacking when I walk in the room. And so when I walk in the room, my perspective is what's lacking. Now, how many people have that perspective? Exactly. A few, right? How many people have a different perspective when they walk in the room? Maybe theirs is what's great about it, or what's awesome, or, ooh, there's chairs, or, ooh, there's carpet. Like, there's something in there that's different. Your perspective is different when you walk in the room. And so what I'm getting at is from this message today, I want to talk to you a little bit from my perspective, the miracle of provision. Because for me, when I walk in a room, I say what's lacking. And sometimes that's my greatest gift, and sometimes that's my greatest weakness. Because a lot of times, if you get to serve with me, you'll know, like, hey, if you're missing something on a Sunday and you mention it to me, odds are the next Sunday you're going to have it. I mean, that's just because it's how I'm wired. Like, if you say, hey, this is broken, I need this, we're going to have it next week. I don't know why. It's a gift sometimes, but it can be a terrible thing when you're not missing anything, you don't need anything, and everything's great, and then I don't have to provide anything next week, right? So for me, when I look at this thing from lacking, I want us to say this, because I believe all of us can say we're lacking something in our life. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's studying. Maybe it's grades. Maybe it's career. Maybe it's kids, support. Maybe there's something in your life you feel like you're lacking. And I believe today God's going to give you a fresh perspective of his miracle and provision. If you look at life through the lens of what am I lacking, I believe God's going to give you something new today. So here's the big idea. We talked before the message. I think Harley, Zach, and Ian and I had talked in 15 points, I think is what it is. So if you got, just go ahead and label 1 to 15. Tough crowd. I can't even get a joke in today. So it's not that much. I've got one big idea. That's it. One big idea. One. So if you're taking notes, there's one idea. Can we rally around that? So we're not lacking, we're lacking 2 points today, okay? Because normally we have 3 and we're only going to have 1, okay? So one point today, and it's this. God will always lead you to a place he will provide. God will always lead you to a place he will provide. God will always, not sometimes, always lead you to a place where he will provide. So if you got your Bible, we're going to dive into Genesis 22. Dive into Genesis 22. And so where we are in the Bible here is this guy named Abraham has a son in Genesis 21. Now, he's young when he has Abraham. When he has Isaac, Abraham's so young. He's like a lot of folks, a young married couple, like that has their first child. He was 100 and his wife was 90. So it's a young, young married couple. For real, this guy's 100 years old when he has his son, Isaac. And so it sets up this story that he's talking about. So he's prayed for a son. God said you would have a son, and I promise you, you'll have many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Nobody. Tough crowd. So VBS crowd just loved me. They fell in love with me. That's it. So if you grew up in VBS, you knew that song. So let's just praise the Lord. Anyway, so we got to get our energy up today, guys. I'm feeling a little bit. I ain't got nothing in me but Powerade, so I know we can do it. We can handle it, y'all. We can do this thing. So I want you to know as we get into Genesis 22, God will always lead you to a place where he will provide. So if you got your Bible, you can see we're going to be in the NIV version. The first thing it says is you're going to see my cards on the table here. Abraham tested. Ooh, school's about to start back.
Some of us are having tests now, right? Who here likes being tested? Abraham is tested. Abraham is tested. So who's ready to dive in? Are we excited? Okay, we can dive in. I see some folks who are ready. We're ready. 1 point. So you ain't got to worry about nothing else. 1 point. So Genesis 22:1 says this. Sometime later, God did what? He tested Abraham. He said to him,
Abraham.
That's the voice. I think it is. I think Morgan Freeman. I can't do it, but I think that's what, probably what it was. But
Abraham.
Abraham, with his little sassy tone, said, here I am. Like, how many of us say that to God when he says,
Tyler.
Like, here I am.
Or Christian.
Here I am. Or
David.
Here I am. I mean, God, you're everywhere, right? Like, I'm trying to get ready. He says, here I am. Like, God didn't know he was there. I love that. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. This is where it gets testy. And we've heard this story. You might have read this story in church. But really, 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 I want you to have fresh perspective and think if God was telling you this right now. The thing that you're lacking in your life might be finances. And maybe God has allowed you to win the lottery. Or maybe it's kids and God's giving you kids. Maybe it's relationships. God's giving you relationships or a spouse or career or whatever it is. You've prayed for it. God's provided it. And all of a sudden he says, take your son, climb up this mountain, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. So have a barbecue with your son, whom I promised you many nations would be born from. Pin drop, right? I would be like, all right, God, I'm not here. Now somebody else has said, here I am, right? Like, I would be frustrated by that. Like, here he is. He says, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. Like, that's when I would be dressing my servants in Isaac's clothing, like, right, you know, like whatever, little Isaac's ball cap, you know, just something, just try to throw the sneak in on God, right? Like, I would be stuck there when I had this because it would break my heart to know that this was happening. And he says he took two servants with him and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God told him about. He set out to the place God told him about. So as we're in this series, before we continue on, remember we said a miracle is when God intervenes on your behalf, right? Inside of your situation. We talked about this. This whole series has been about miracles and God intervening on your behalf. And so Abraham had just seen a miracle. Literally, 100-year-old man had a child. Even in today's world, 100-year-old man having a child is, like, you know, there's just something. Like, there's something about that that just don't seem right, right? But God intervened, and he gave him this miracle, and he said, hey, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up to this place, and I want you to sacrifice that miracle I gave you. I know I promised you that you're going to have many nations out of it. I know I promised you that you're going to have that. But I need you to take the thing that you prayed for, the thing that you lacked, which was a son, and I need you to give it up. And I need you to kill it. I'd be upset with God. I don't know about you, but maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you're upset with God. And what I love here is we always celebrate Abraham's faith, but I wonder how the turmoil was inside. Like, if you have children, how would you feel about that? Like, I haven't had kids. I can't tell you what it feels like. I can tell you what it feels like to be a godfather. I can tell you what it feels like to be an uncle. I can tell you how much that would break my heart if God said that, if God told me that that's what was going to happen. But I can't imagine this turmoil that Abraham's walking through because his son Isaac is going to die. That's what God tells him to do. And so he tells him to go to this place called Moriah. Now, not Carrie. Moriah. Tough crowd. Somebody gets it. It's all right. He goes to this place called Moriah. I know it's spelled differently. This place called Mount Moriah. And here's the thing I want to tell you about it. It appears twice in the Old Testament. It appears here with Abraham. And then another time with David, and it's called the threshing floor when it shows up with David. And Mount Moriah, you can actually see it today, is where the Temple Mount is to this day. Is where the Dome of the Rock is at this moment in time, but it's where the Temple Mount is, Mount Moriah. So that is the actual place where God called Abraham to go up with his son, Isaac. He calls him there. Now, there's debate over what the name Moriah means. But what I will tell you is, one of the interpretations at the end is this, and so it's still debated, so we may not know, but at the end is IAH,
is for Yahweh, okay? So Yahweh, so God, the Israel God, like it's a name that couldn't be spoken. Israel says you can't speak it. Like in Jewish culture, that's the name that's so important. It's God, but the beginning is where it's debated. What does this mean? This Morai, like where is this coming from? And some say that it means the vision of God. So the vision of God is where God's calling Abraham to with his son Isaac. So Mount Moriah is where he's calling him to, the vision of Yahweh. Or maybe a different perspective could be he's calling him to the place of his vision, but more than likely his place of provision, by sacrificing the thing that he promised him he would bless him through. And so as I was getting ready for this, I was just wondering how easy it is to admire Abraham, but how hard it would be to truly be Abraham in this moment. And God's reminded me of where I've been and the things that he's put in my life. And maybe there's something pressing on your heart now that you think about that. Maybe there's something that God has given you that is a blessing that you've prayed for, but all of a sudden he's calling you to lay it down. That's a tough thing. Now, this isn't killing a son. I understand. That's a big thing. I can understand as a parent would that be different. But I just want us to have that lens here of, man, if I walked in where Abraham was with my perspective of what I lack, God has said the one thing that I lack is a son, and now he's telling me to give it back to him. That's some tough stuff. The story goes on to say, if you're taking notes, maybe, you know, I like to highlight. If you see my Bible, it's all written in. Sorry. That's how it goes. But it says this, and I think that it's no coincidence. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." See how that changed? You can say what you want about Abraham, and we admire him because we know this story of faith. And if you've ever read the story, you know how the story's going to end. But I can see the tension in Abraham's heart right here. All of a sudden, it went from my son Isaac to the boy. He's realizing that he's going to have to give this thing up. The boy. I will go over, me and the boy will go over there. But here's what I love he says he's going to do. "We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of burnt for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. So not only does he have to have his son go up this mountain, he loads him down with wood to carry up the mountain. This should paint a picture that seems so familiar to you if you have a relationship with Christ. If not, we're going to talk about what that looks in a little bit later. But he puts wood for burnt offering on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replies. "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And this is where I see Abraham's faith. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went back. The two of them went on together. You know what blows my mind here, if you're taking notes and you're looking there, obviously I said the third day. We talked about donkeys and sheep not too long ago in a series. We talked about how when a donkey was born, there had to be a sacrifice to make it clean from the unclean animal. It's really crazy. But just remember what Jesus rode in when the palms were laid. It was a donkey that he rode in. We call it a colt or whatever you want to call it. He said he was going to ride that in. You know, there's just some similarities there that is not by accident or not by coincidence. But what I love about Abraham's faith here, as he says in verse 5, "We will worship and then we will come back to you." Now, have you ever been around somebody that just fakes it till they make it? Like, if you know anything about me, I'm not a fake it till you make it person. Like, I'm just not I'm sorry. I think that's awesome. Now, I'm a dress for success person. I always believe dress for the place you want to be. Like, I've always lived in that world and I've always said, hey, dress for success. Dress for the position you want to be in. There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. But I'm not a fake it till you make it person. So, like, I couldn't be Abraham here and looking at people at the bottom of the mountain and be like, hey, we're going to go up there and worship and then we're going to come back down, both of us. Now, did God tell him that both of them were going to come back down? At this point in the story, has God said that Isaac is going to come back down with Abraham? He hasn't. He just said, take your son up there and kill him as a sacrifice to me. But yet Abraham looks at those two servants and he's like, yeah, we're coming back down. We're coming back down, both of us. We're going to go up here and we're going to worship God, and then we're going to come back down. See, I wonder how many times in our life that we've prayed for something we've wanted and prayed for God to provide something that we didn't first stop and worship him and then know that he's going to bring back more than we thought. So many times we don't have worship, do we? For me, as a person that lacks, I'm just going to be like, I'm not going to tell them people that I'm coming back with my son. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be back down in a minute. I got to go do this crazy thing. We're going to worship the Lord. Isaac, I don't know what's going to happen with him. He's crazy right now. I don't know. He's a teenager, right? Like, he's crazy right now. We don't know where he's at, right? Like that. We don't know what's happening with him. But he's got faith to say, God, hey, we're going to come back. And so much so as his son, like I can imagine the tears that would be streaming down my face as I'm climbing up this mountain and my son is carrying this wood all the way up this mountain to be sacrificed. All of a sudden he says, Dad, we lack something. Because, you know, a lot of times the perspective we have in life comes from our parents, whether we want to admit it or not. So if you think that that can't be a learned behavior, if you walk in the room and say, what am I lacking? You probably learned that growing up. You might have been wired that way. I can tell you I was. So I learned how to figure out how to provide for that my own, and that's just not what I'm supposed to do. David prayed it so well before we got up here. We get caught up in ourselves that we forget God will provide. And see, Abraham's sitting there, and he looks at his son, and his son says, hey, all right, Dad, like I don't mind carrying this wood. Maybe Abraham's got the knife hidden. Like it says he's got the fire in the knife. I don't know where he's got the knife at this point in time, but he's got the fire in the knife. And his son is like, Dad, like something's missing. Like I'm carrying all this wood. Thanks a lot. Abraham's like, I'm 100, kid. Like, you know, like, I don't know. He's like, thanks a lot. I'm carrying all this stuff up. And he's like, I got old bones, son. I got old bones. So he's carrying it up and he's just like, something's missing, Dad. Like there's got to be a sacrifice. Like where are we going? And so the story that I want to tell you about here as we get here is it makes me think about Abraham, because we started this series talking a little bit about where Abraham came from. Does anybody remember? Ur of the Chaldees, right? The Chaldeans. God called him out of this place. And we were talking about the Chaldeans being demons, right? And they sacrifice things to their God, not to God. And I wonder how much of this is coming in Abraham and swelling up. How much of his past is coming up in him. And I'm just... didn't you call me out of this, God? Like, didn't you call me into something greater and you're making me sacrifice my son right here? Like, I think of all these emotions that are coming in his mind and these emotions that are in his head. And he's probably, I mean, if I'm Abraham, I'm probably thinking, God's on some crazy stuff. Like, he's, I don't know what he's smoking, but he might be stuck in traffic behind a steering wheel. I don't know. Or he's in church and he's heard a sermon before, but there's something that happened. God's stuck somewhere. Like he's smoking something and it ain't going to be my son as the burnt offering. Like, I don't know what's happening, but there's something going on here. But yet Abraham and faith, which isn't what he's always done. Because remember, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans, remember, he says, pitch your tent in a place you've never been before, and I'll show you the way to go. And he says, this is going to be the land of promise, and there are going to be many people that come through you. And so Abraham goes, and he wanders over into Egypt, and he goes to the Egyptian Pharaoh, and he tells Pharaoh that his wife is his sister. That's cool. Sister wife. His wife is his sister so that he doesn't die. So God, he's got faith. He's 99% there, but there's just little 1%, and so much so that God curses Pharaoh, kicks Abraham out. We hear about Abraham and Lot, those things that happen. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, those kind of things if you've grown up in church. So Abraham, 99% goes out on faith, and then all of a sudden, 99% in faith again, God comes to him and Sarah and says, hey, this thing you've been praying for, this thing that you've cried out to me for, this blessing you've wanted me to have all this time, I'm going to give it to you. And so they're just like, finally, he's going to give it to me. And then he didn't have it in their time. And so he goes and gets the maid pregnant. Sound familiar? That's every Lifetime movie that's out there, right? Like, he goes and gets the maid pregnant with a son. So he's 99% trusting God. He's like, I can do it. I can have a son even though I'm in my 80s. I can have a son. Like, I can figure this out. He's 99% there, but he's just 1% lacking in faith. But what I see is some kind of switch has flipped since Isaac's been born and Abraham. There's some kind of perspective change. There's a shift in his perspective. There's something that's just a little bit different in his life. Like, all of a sudden, he's not 99% there. He's saying, hey, here's the thing, son. Which, parents, you probably know this when you have children in your life. Something about your perspective changes, right? Son, I know God's going to provide. I don't know how he's going to do it. But my life has been marked by 99% faith, not 100% all in. And that 1% that I lack, that's the 1% that I may focus on all the time, is the one thing that's missing. That's the one thing I may focus on all the time instead of understanding that it's a big picture of all things. And all of a sudden, that's where Abraham is with his son, is he's saying, hey, son, stop looking at what you lack. Understand that God will provide. And so this is where I would tell you in my life, I just wrote this down. I had to make sure I shared it with you. So I'm laughing because I wanted to make sure I shared it with you. But if I told you this and I told you everything that I lack as a pastor, as a leader, as a man of God in my life, the times that I've messed up and I put it on a sheet of paper, we wouldn't be here today at the Vine Church. It wouldn't happen. Because you know what? I'd be stuck at the bottom of the hill with those two servants, just like Abraham and his son was. I'd be stuck there. Even though God's called me to do something great. If I told you every room I was laughed out of, if I told you every time I was told I wasn't good enough, I wasn't the guy for this, if I told you every degrading, hurtful comment, every time I've been told I wasn't qualified as a pastor, I wasn't qualified as a leader, because I'm not married, I can't counsel people, if I told you that I was told I couldn't understand to preach because I didn't go to school, every time that I was told in my life that you can't do it, even though God's called me to it, I would be stuck at the bottom of that hill, but I know that God will provide. And so today we stand here, and I want to tell you this, and this is where I'm at, and this is what I want for you in your life, is no matter where you are, whether you stand up and clap what I say, whether you get excited and you don't see Jesus in a new way, no matter what, the word that God's given inside of me is going to be given to you each and every week, each and every day, because I know that he will provide. It's going to look different for you than it's going to look for me. But the thing in your life is you have people in your life the same way. There's something inside of you that God has placed inside of you to share with the world and understand that it will be provided. And that's where Abraham is here with Isaac. The thing that he was called to share with the world, he gave up and he trusted God. And he knew that God would provide, even if God said, I'm going to take that away. So here's the thing. Man may tell you you're not good enough, but understand that with God, it's going to be just right. And so I will tell you in my life, when I look at what I lack, man, I can tell you the times that I could say, man, I'm just lonely. Man, I'm depressed. This is an isolating position. This is where it can feel crazy. But then all of a sudden, God moves. And he's like, son, I'm calling you deeper. I'm calling you up this mountain. I'm calling you to be a part of something that's going to change eternities. I'm calling you to be a part of something great. All you got to do is just keep taking step by step. But so many times, what do I want to do? I'm not going nowhere. Where's my treat, right? Like, where's my snack? Like, I'm ready to go. I need a nap. Like, you know, like something crazy. And I fight with God, and he's saying, come on, come up this mountain. This is what I've called you to do. And I want to tell you, he's doing the same thing with you, if you'll just trust it. Because the thing that I noticed that Abraham isn't doing, that Isaac is doing, is sometimes my perspective is like Isaac. I see what I lack. But what Abraham's doing is his perspective is a lot different. He sees who's going to provide. And in his perspective being different, all of a sudden, the outcome looks completely different, doesn't it? Abraham's not faking it. He's just not telling his son, you're going to be great. You want to be an astronaut? Like, I could dress all day being an astronaut. That ain't going to get me to space anytime faster, y'all. That's where I'm sorry. I'm not a fake it till you make it person. I think it's awesome, but that ain't going to get me to space, even though I know that they're working on it. SpaceX is working on it. So I think for us, I see Abraham's shift in his perspective, his shift knowing that God will provide, his shift knowing that no matter what people told him he was too old to have a child, he had a child. People told him his son wouldn't be, people told him when he said, hey, God's promised me that I'll have many nations will come out of me. And they're like, you got one son. I don't know, like, these other people got like 50 kids. Like, how do you think many nations are going to be birthed out of you, right? And all of a sudden, now he's at this moment where God's saying, come in faith, test me, try me, come, just trust me, Abraham. Give up this thing that you've prayed for and watch what I can do with it. And I want to tell you, no matter what, this is where you can be.
right now. If you look in a lens of what you like I was wanting to share this with you and thinking about the lens, and it made me think, if you wore my glasses, how you would see things so much differently. You see how blind I am in my left eye and how I need help in my right. But how, I don't know if you know this, but for 30 years, I went without glasses. I was 30 years old till I got glasses. And let me tell you how I cheated to not get glasses, because I always thought I'd be made fun of. So I didn't get glasses. I always used to get, the doctor would tell you, you know, like I'd have to have a physical every year for football. And they'd always tell you to read the eye chart. And he'd always make me read something. So he'd make you cover one eye, right? Like I'm that old. Sorry. Like you had the paddle. You couldn't go and sit down. And they get you right up in the screen. I ain't that cool. I had the old paddle. And he would say, read it. And sometimes he'd tell me to start with my left eye. And I'd say, no, let's start with my right eye. And what I would do is I would memorize the numbers with my right eye, or the letters, and then I'd read the same line with my left eye. Well, now, thanks DMV, like all of them have the different letters on both sides, right? And I'll just be like, the screen's dim on the left. They're like, you're blind. Like, you know, it's just that bad. But I thought about the perspective that I can be in. So if you looked at things through my lens, and you looked at things through where Isaac is, and saying, hey, we lack something. Like, Dad, I'm trusting you. God, I'm trusting you. Dad, I'm trusting you, but I lack something to get there. Or you can look at it through Abraham's eyes and say, hey, we got just what we need. We don't lack anything. God will provide. And so I wonder if that's where you are in your life. Because if I'm completely honest, many times in my life, I can tell you everything I lack. You know, the jet that only has to stop one time for gas to get around the world. You know, the pyro, the craziness. I could tell you the books I haven't wrote. I could tell you the speeches I haven't given. I could tell you the accolades I don't have, the doctors or PhDs behind my name. I could tell you all the titles I don't have. I could tell you everything that I lack that the world says gives me standing. Or I can trust that the God who provides everything I need will give me the standing that's just right for the season he's called me in. And so I wonder if your life, if you're looking for a miracle of provision, are you looking through my lens of lack? Are you looking through the perspective of provision that God's called you to look through? Because that's the difference between Abraham and Isaac at this point. And in this story, here's the even crazy part. I told you, you're going to see where this is going is all of a sudden, you know, I think God's heart was tied to Abraham here more than anything. Because as we rock on down through this Jewish nation, and we get to where this New Testament comes about and where Jesus is born, this is the exact same thing that God's going to have to walk through with his own son that he loves. He's going to carry a wooden cross on his back, and he's going to walk up a mountain, and he's going to have to sacrifice the one thing that he loves, the only son he has, so that many can be born again. And so I think of that perspective of Abraham, and I think of how God changed his perspective in that moment, and how God's so closely tied to Abraham because he trusts him with faith. So let's continue on up the story. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there. David did the same thing when he had the threshing floor. He builds an altar there, which is where Solomon, his son, builds the temple. And he arranged the wood on it. And this is where I would lose it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine the hysterical nature his son was probably in? The pain, the not understanding. Like, was it that, or was he just trusting his dad so much that he just let him tie him there? Like, I'm trying to think, like, how in the world could I do this if I'm Abraham? And it makes me think of how great our God is when I see this. Because I think about that, like his son, he lays out this wood, he lays it out, and he's got his son tied with his arms out, and the fire's burning as a sacrifice, and he's getting ready. And it says he bound his son Isaac, he laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and he reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And here's his snarkiness. Abraham, savage. Here I am. Like, you know, here I am. And this is where I want to pause for a second and ask you this.
I wonder in the midst of my perspective of lack, would I still hear the voice of God? Because in the emotion of that moment, if I'm Abraham, I might have killed my son and not realized it. Because I was so focused on what was lacking that I would have missed the voice of God. This angel's calling out to him. And like he's in the heat of this moment. Like, I don't know. Like I was thinking of all the ways I would walk through it. Like I would just be like, Like I would just be seeing, like I would probably be testing God to see if it would happen. Like I would have lit the fire around it, like, and had Isaac somewhere over there and like lit the fire over here. Like I'm thinking of all the ways that I would have tested God to look at my lack and say that he would provide, but not have faith that he would provide. And I wonder if sometimes in our life, are we so stuck in our lack that we miss out on the voice of God? Because the voice of God in that moment is showing him that he will provide something. And yet Abraham's standing there in that moment, and he literally could have killed his son, and the angel of the Lord tells him, do not lay a hand on the boy. What did Abraham, who did Abraham say would come back down the mountain with him? The boy. He didn't call him Isaac. He called him the boy. I love that. So the angel got a little sassy. It's all right. It is what it is. If you think God doesn't do that, he does that. He says, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Remember we talked about Abraham's faith, how he had been 99% there. 99% there. For the first time in Abraham's walk, he's 100% there. He was willing to go all the way. And so I wonder if maybe you're praying out of your lack and you're praying out of your what you want instead of what you need, and you're praying to God for what you want and wondering why he's not providing it because you're looking at it through your lack instead of his provision and knowing he's going to give you everything that you need. Everything. Not just some things, everything. And all of a sudden Abraham is here, and for the first time he gave all of his faith to God. Not 99%. And so maybe where you are not seeing God's provision in your life is you're giving him 99% of you, not 100%. And that's exactly when Abraham finally does that, he sees that his son is saved. It goes on to say here, it goes on like this, like Abraham, I want to tell you this, we're faced with a choice. It's a choice that involves our mind, our heart, and our will. I'm thinking about the temptation as we ascend this mountain would be everything that we lack. Like, I probably would have taken the long way around the mountain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have went straight up. I wouldn't have went the straight path or the straight and narrow. I would have went the long way just to see if God changed his mind. Would have stopped and had lunch two or three times. Like, I would have found a way to delay all of this, right? Found a way to delay all of this. But instead, just like Abraham, we can continue to focus on what we lack. Or we can trust God step by step all the way up. Now, do you think not only was climbing up that mountain grueling, he knew what he had to do when he got to the top. Like, that's crazy, right? And yet he still had faith to keep his eyes focused on God, because if I focus on my lack, I'm just going to go around in circles. I'm never going to get to experience God's provision because I'm never going to get to the place where God's called me to go. And so here we are, and I want to tell you that's why the vine is here. Like, I get to be a part of the vine. Like, this is the place of God's provision for me because this is the place he called me to go. I might not have taken this route to get here. I would have told you 1,000 different ways that I would have been here. But yet, this is where God's called me to be in my life, to give provision. And so maybe that's where you are, wherever God's calling you in your life. Are you getting stuck in what you lack and stalling your progress? Are you focusing on God and just trusting him one step at a time, one day at a time? With all you've got. Because we can see, like, I know that Abraham knew the top of the mountain was eventually going to be there. Right? Like, he knew it. He knew that it was coming. Kind of like The Price is Right, you know, like the little yodeler guy. Like, he knew it was coming. Like, and he didn't want to fall off the side. Like, he knew it was coming. But I wonder how his pace quickened when he got there. Like, did he push up when he got there? Was it something that he got excited about because he knew God would provide? Or would he be like, I don't know. Like, he's looking for a switcheroo. Like, he's looking somewhere for something for Isaac. Like, that's what I would be doing. I'd be figuring, I'd be like, this donkey looks good, Lord. Like, you know, like, I know I done made this kid carry all this up. This my son now. You know, I mean, I would be in a crazy place. But yet Abraham gave all of himself to him. Continuing on, verse 13. Abraham looked up. There he saw in a thicket a ram caught by its horns. He went over there, he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, what? The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Remember where the temple was. The mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. When Jesus died on the cross, remember what was ripped into? The veil was ripped in the temple. It was ripped into on the place where the Lord provided. The Lord will provide. The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven a second time. So this time he didn't say, here I am. Abraham's probably overcome with emotion. I would be too. I'd be so excited about what's happening. He does it a second time. And he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants what? As numerous as the stars in the sky. Wouldn't it be cool if they exploded? Wouldn't it be cool if the stars exploded? Man, I wonder somewhere out there who's looking under this sky with me. And yet when Abraham looked up, the first thing he saw was the mountain God called him to climb up. But then I wonder every night from then on when he looked up at those stars, he thought, man, I'm going to get to meet that one day and that one day. And where's Orion at? Like, where's that? Where's his belt at? Like, where's that at? That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a good little constellation there. And then the Big Dipper, but then I'm going to get to meet the Small Dipper too. How crazy is that? The two dippers, I'm going to get to meet them too. And oh, wow, this is crazy. His perspective is completely different, right? And as the sand on the seashore, your descendants will take possession of cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Here's the thing. We've got to trust the Lord is willing to protect us and provide for us even when we can't see it. Abraham's focus was on the mountain, was on God alone. On that mountain, he came to know God in a new way. He came to meet God as his sole provider. Like, he had provided him a son, but now all of a sudden, his soul is different. His heart is tied to God. This is something that's bigger than me. It lasts longer than me. It lasts for generations. It lasts for eternity. It says all nations will be blessed. And what I think is through that provision, what we get to learn from God in this story is that God's saying, my promise is all you need, and my grace is sufficient enough. Just trust my promise. Because the miracle happened there. You know, when I wonder about this story, I wonder what lens would I have looked through at that moment? Because you know I'm an AB person. It's a black and white. I know the world is gray, and I'm learning the gray more than anything. And I'll meet you in the gray, but it's a black and white. Like, I'll fight you in black and white all day long. It is what it is when it comes to that. Let's talk about a contract. No, I'm just kidding. But I am a black and white person. In that moment, would I have been mad at God because he provided a ram? Because a sacrifice called for a lamb. Would I have thought the ram was good enough? Like, after I knew my son was saved, would I be okay with what God called me to sacrifice? Or would I look through my lens of lack and not his provision and say, well, you know what, God? My preference and your preference is a lamb. And if I sacrifice that ram, it's probably not going to be good enough. So let me go find a lamb. Would I continue to wander around through that and waste my energy and my time, or would I celebrate God's provision and what he's given me and the blessing that he's provided to me and the thing that he saved in my life? And so I wonder how many times we would think that God's provision has to come in our preference. Because, see, Abraham always tried to have his preference before, and his son Ishmael was born. This thing about Ishmael that's really crazy. As Ishmael was Abraham's first son, but wasn't a blessing of God because it wasn't born of Sarah. Then he has Isaac, who is blessed of God. And now God promised that Ishmael would have many descendants. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the entire nation of Islam believes that Ishmael went up that hill with Abraham, not Isaac. And so whenever you talk to someone of a different faith, they will tell you that, hey, Abraham's preference was just to have a son, not in what God provided him to have, which was Isaac, where many nations would be blessed. And to this day, there is conflict, right? Because here's the thing that I will tell you, the reason I'm bringing that up to you, we'll talk about it in a second even more, and we'll even talk about it more on Thursday night, is this. When you get God's provision messed up with your preference, you'll always fall away from him. And you'll always make a mistake. You'll think you're in steps of obedience, and you're nowhere near it. You'll justify yourself. You'll fall short of the blessing that is to come. And that's exactly where Abraham was, is he had a son named Ishmael. And to this day, that mountain has a dome with a rock on it. The nation of Islam goes there. They pilgrimage there. And so all of a sudden, here we are in this conflict because we're worried about our preference. So I wonder, are you praying to God about your preferences and about your wants? Are you asking God to provide all you need? Because it's amazing. When you have a perspective change to stop saying, what do I lack and what do I want? To God, what is it that I need to do what you made me to do? It's amazing how everything works out. It changes everything. When you have kids, I don't have kids yet, but if you have kids, and when you have kids and all of a sudden you say, what do they need instead of what do they want, and you provide their needs first and their wants later, completely different perspective, isn't it? But when you provide their wants first and never provide their needs, I wonder how your relationship is with them. It's probably pretty rough, isn't it? That's why God says, I will give you everything that you need. I will give you everything that you need. So much so, I will give you everything that you need, and I will meet it according to all the riches and glory in heaven. He leads you to a place he provides. So let me tell you this as we get ready to wrap up here. In Genesis 20, 22, we finish with verse 18. I want to tell you about the story of God's provision with the vine. We're 100% debt-free church. You may not know that. We don't believe in debt. God's provision has been with us from the beginning, so much so that this time last year, we were just signing the lease for a place to meet. Isn't that crazy? This time last year, not even a year ago, we had just found somewhere to meet. God provided. God provided it in a crazy circumstance. A crazy circumstance. So much so, I was going through probably the worst closing I've been through in a long time in real estate. And I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? Literally across the street from this place. And he just said, come park in the parking lot. I mean, it was pouring down rain. It was just a crazy day. And they were like, they kept saying, come back in an hour. And I was like, really? Seriously? So I'm just going to drive across town to come all the way back here in an hour. And I parked in this parking lot here at the YMCA, and I kept hearing, why not here? Why not this place? God provided. So much so that we're a church that's not affiliated with a church planners network, a convention. We're not part of seed money. It is literally steps of faith up that mountain that God's called us to change this city for eternity's sake. And we do that through how we love God and love others so much that we won't stop until every person in this city has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it's in our generation or generations to come, we know what God's called us to up this mountain, and he has provided always. As a pastor of this church, I want to tell you, hey, I work for free. I get to work out of overflow. Not because the church can't pay me. It's not got anything to do with the church paying me. It's because God's called me to be a realtor, to meet people outside of this church, that when I talk to them and say, I'm a pastor, they're not turned off. I get to meet amazing people in real estate. So much so that some of them I get to see every week. I get to talk to every week. I wouldn't get to do that as a pastor. You'd expect me to be wearing a suit with my briefcase and my hat on or whatever, looking like a Blues Brother walking around everywhere. That's just not me. That's not who God made me to be. He made me to be a tent maker. He made me to be like Paul. He made me to work for free. And I want to tell you, at the Vine Church, he will provide. There are moments when we can sit here and talk about what do we lack. And it's not about what we lack. It's about what our eyes are focused on. Because if we focus on what we lack, we'll never see God provide. And I want to tell you, God has provided. And he will continue to provide. Because he is faithful. And I want to tell you this. Maybe you're trying to figure out where you can be a part. Maybe the people here I know are bought out, and are sold out and bought into what God's called us to do. But I want to tell you this. If you want to be a part of something that makes a difference, we're going to give over $26,000 as of the end of this month to this city being made better for eternity. Not because we went in debt to do it, not because we feel obligated to do it, but because in faith God has called us to do it. And anytime we've taken a step of faith, God's always provided. And guess what? He's always provided. Maybe that's where you're stuck in your life. God's called you to do something incredible, and it's scary. And I can tell you the times where I just didn't even want to tell people what God had called me to because I was so afraid of what they would think. I was so afraid that the world had told me what I couldn't be and what I lacked to be standing up here today that I didn't step into God's provision into what he made me to be. And I want to tell you today, God's made you to be something great. Even if you've got to sacrifice some things that are the most important to you, I promise you, he's going to provide. The hard part is trusting him enough to give him the sacrifice. Trusting him enough to do that. And so my question is, are you looking through the lens of limitation and what you lack? Are you looking through the lens of provision and what God's given? Because if I look through the lens of provision, I know that God will always lead me to a place he will provide. It may not be easy. It may not be my preference. It may not be filled with what I want. Because if I'm Abraham, I want to get this thing over with, right? I want to just go up there, get this over with, come back, and figure out how to move on with my life. Because this is crazy what God's called me to. But I want to tell you, in those moments, the beauty of it is he and he alone will provide. And so as we sit here and we get ready to close this out and we talk about what God has for us, the band's about to come up and lead us in worship. But, you know, I talked about two sons. How Abraham had two sons. And to this day, people fight about which son went up that mountain. And here's what I want to tell you. God sent a son up a hill on a mountain, and he died on Calvary. Christ died for our sins. You see, he lived a perfect life. He probably went up that mountain. Remember, before he died, Jesus said, if this cup can pass over me, God, let your will be done, though. This cup can pass for me, still let your will be done. Jesus had to walk up that same mountain for us. And so many times we can argue which son went up that mountain, and we can continue to send our sons and daughters up that mountain to be sacrificed for something that doesn't matter. Or we can trust that the son has already been sent up that mountain for us. That son has already died for us. That sacrifice, that lamb has already been provided for. That lamb has already done the work that we couldn't do. He's already climbed that mountain, already been up that hill, and given what we can never give so that each and every one of us could have life. And so my question is, through this time, is maybe you've never done that. Maybe you haven't nailed that down, and you don't know what that looks like in your life. And I just want to tell you, there's a way. There is a way. So my question is, as we get ready to worship, and I'll come back and wrap this up, is which son are you looking to? Are you trusting the Son of God who provides? Are you trusting your sacrifice and your works and your son? Are you trusting the Son? And that's a question only you can answer. So as we get ready to worship, I pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask your heart to be in tune to hear what Jesus has for you. So dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that we get to worship your name high, and that we are here because you've provided a way for us to be here. Jesus, none of this matters without you. None of us have any hope without you. None of us have any provision without you. Our needs, we can't provide for ourselves. We can only provide our wants. But Jesus, you promised to give us all that we need in our needs. And you know that we are in need of a Savior. All of us are sinners searching for something to fill that void in our life, searching for something that's sacrificed for that sin. And Jesus, you are the only one that is. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So I pray that in these moments, as we have this song of worship, and as we sing, it is well with my soul, we would truly know that it is well with our soul because we've accepted the sacrifice of you. Not the lens of lack in our life. And if we're looking at the lens of lack in our life, Jesus, let us see that you've already provided a way. And let us trust it. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Now stand and sing on this. Attendeth my way.
Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be set. The cloud be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall
So, as we wrap up today, we always end with this because we believe that every week God has provided something for everyone here. And so for some of you either watching online or maybe you're in the middle of the week listening online or listening in your car, I just want you to know that God's provided a way for you to have peace and have life and life eternal. And maybe you're trying to figure out what it is. Maybe your lens is always what I lack instead of seeing what's provided. Maybe you're trying to work your way through that. Like maybe you think if you can climb the mountain and get to the top, that
that you can be at one with God and that would make you right with God. And I'm telling you, no matter what you do to work to make up the lack, no matter how you try to give everything you have, if you haven't first received the gift of God's provision by His Son, Jesus Christ, it's all wasted. You're walking in circles and you're trampling and you're trying to do something that you were never made to do. And so in this moment, I ask you, have you ever received the gift of God's provision? And that is His Son, Jesus. And if you haven't done that, we're going to pray here in just a second, but it's not the words of the prayer. It's receiving by faith that Jesus is who He says He is as our sacrifice. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we know here that everyone in this house prays with you because we believe and we want you to know that you are not praying alone, because life change happens best inside of Christian community. So you have a community of Christian people here who want to walk step by step with you in this journey that God's called you to be on. So if you have never received by faith that Jesus is who He says He is, this is your moment. This is your time. This is how you can do that. And so I'm going to ask everyone to repeat the words after this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow You. Step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed and everyone online, this is your moment. If this is the first time you can say that you have received by faith that Jesus is who He says He is, now is your time. It's your time to respond. It's your time not to be 99% there, but 100% all in and be excited that God has made a way and provided for you an opportunity to have life and life eternal. So I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. If that's you, I would ask you to respond. If you're watching on Facebook, leave a comment. If you're watching us on live.thevine.tv, make sure you comment in the chat box or connect with us. If you're listening to us on a podcast, email us at hello@thevine.tv. Whoever that is, I'm talking to you right now. Now is your chance to receive by faith God is who He says He is. And we want to celebrate that with you. And as we wrap up, everyone else is going to lock arms here because we believe here at the Vine Church, once again, life change happens best inside a Christian community. We all wore deodorant today. We all took showers, so it's a good day. We're all clean and ready to go. But as we get ready for this, I'm just going to pray for God's provision for all of us this week. And I want to pray that we would have not a lens of lack, but a lens of God's provision. So Jesus, thank You for this time that we got to spend together today. Dear Lord, I know that You have had something special for all of us. I pray that we would have the faith to be bold enough to take our next step in it. I pray that we would lay down everything that we hold that is prideful, everything that we hold that we think we want that is not a need that You've provided. I pray that we would lay that at Your feet and watch You provide in ways we've never asked or imagined. Jesus, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the Vine Church. I thank You for the sowers of the Vine Church who believe in something that they may not get to see and we may not get to see for generations. But Jesus, I pray that our perspective wouldn't be what we lack, but would be Your provision. And when we look up at those stars in the sky and we see all of those people that we are going to get to meet one day because they can say that we invested in them long before they knew us, because Jesus, You invested in us long before You knew us, that they can say that they have life and life eternal. Jesus, let us love You and love others well this week, and let us once again have the lens of provision. We love You, Jesus. Can't wait to be back here next week. Amen. Hey, if you're watching us online, we start our new series, Hope in the Dark, next week. Maybe you have a friend that's walking through that. We can't wait to see you then.